We ate some ass.
It was a juicy ass.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
And welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast. On today's episode, we are going to get medieval on your ass. We'll be talking about More Than All the World. It's a new musical written by our returning guest, Eric Ransom, and along with the director, Rachel Klein, who will also be joining us via Skype. We'll have some more on them and the new musical coming up on the second half of the show, but we're going to jump into the first segment of the show, which is what we usually do, and I'm going to let my compadres and my bitches introduce themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll start with the first one.
Hey, y'all. It's Nick or Trish.
Good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And we're going to jump into
The Dish.
Happy Halloween to everyone.
Happy Halloween. And did we just have like our first musical segment of the show?
We sure did. We want some ass. It was great. That was awesome, though. But it's fun. You know, we try to think of very funny ways to like open each episode and make it different and unique. And we sit here and we brainstorm and a lot of shit just comes out of our mind, which is
some of it's real bad.
It is. It really is.
We some bad hombres.
We are. Wait a minute. Where did that come from?
Donald Trump?
How do I not know this?
And it was in the third debate when he was talking about the Mexican bad hombres.
Yes. I remember now. Duh. Boosh. It's been one, let me tell you, it's been one of those weekends. Nick and I have practically, well, Nick worked more than I because you worked Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah, I'm Halloweened out.
Yeah, I worked Friday and Saturday at the bar, and I am also Halloweened out. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I unplugged my doorbell because, you know, it is 6:30 p.m. or excuse me, it's 6:10 p.m. here in the East Coast, and I don't want the trick-or-treaters to be ringing my doorbell while we're trying to record the show.
It totally just hit me. I'm like, I knew it's Halloween, but I'm like, oh, right, people go around and ask for candy today.
Exactly.
Fuck, another reason to point out that I'm actually not young anymore. I'm getting older.
Oh, poor thing. And it's not that I don't want to give out candy to the kids, but it's just we have an obligation with the podcast, and, you know, that was my easy way out.
They should do an adult one where you ring on the doorbells and, like, people hand out nips and stuff.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that.
No, totally.
Then
yeah.
I would go.
I have good friends that do an Easter egg hunt, but the Easter egg hunt is a nip hunt.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's
let's grab the nips. Oh. I missed the nips.
Yes. So anyway,
Yabble.
So there's so much that happened. There's so much on Hillary. There's an issue now in where the director, Comey, came out with this letter that he wrote to Congress alleging that, you know, he has more pertinent information to an investigation that's still open, but you know, he really wasn't too descriptive as to what it was that he really had, and it's causing quite the stir, and he's getting actually pushback from both parties on this. But of course, Donald Trump goes against the grind, and he's really, or against the grain, and he's really like trying to go after her because of this, and saying, you know, there is something there, and we don't know that.
And both he and Mike Pence are now commending the FBI director for reopening the case and going back at her.
But the case was never closed.
Well, it said they were concluding their investigation when it ended back then, and now they're reopening it, and they opened it 9 days prior to the election.
And that, oh, let me tell you,
never happened in history. It's unprecedented.
Let me tell you, the senator from the state of Nevada.
There were several states. Nevada was one of them.
But yes. Mr. Reed, I forget his first name. Oh, my God. Anyway, Mr. Reed.
Oh, Harry?
Harry Reed sent out a letter to Mr. Comey addressing the issue and how could you do this, you know, 11 days prior to an election. You know, that there's certain things involving that just, to me, just seems very fishy. You know, you wouldn't do that before an election.
Let's be honest. This whole election has been the epitome of what an election should be. It's been a reality TV show, so they will do whatever the fuck they mm-hmm. want to do.
But you know what I found? What I found interesting, though, Yale University.
I saw this.
Yeah. Well, they have the Yale Record. It's actually one of their publications here at Yale. Has never endorsed a Democratic candidate for president. In fact, they've never endorsed anyone for president. In part because they have a strong commitment into being a tax-exempt 501c3 organization, and they don't want to lose that as a result of getting involved in politics. So because they didn't want to endorse anyone, they released a statement. And it said that this year's presidential election is a highly unusual, but ultimately no different. Let's see. In particular, what was it that they said? Okay. We do not endorse Hillary Clinton. No, let me start this over again. We do not endorse Hillary Clinton's exemplary leadership during her 30 years in the public eye. We do not support her impressive commitment to serving and improving the country, a commitment to which she has dedicated her entire professional career. Because of unambiguous tax laws, we do not encourage you to support the most qualified presidential candidate in modern American history, nor do we encourage all citizens to shatter the glass ceiling once and for all by electing Secretary Clinton on November 8th.
Oh.
So in other words, they didn't endorse her, but they sort of kind of did.
They were just, yeah, look at her. She's pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like every time I'm talking to Chris and I'm like, yeah, no. I don't want to give you a blowjob.
But he really does, Chris. I'm telling you. You should watch those pants because it's really going to happen. I just thought that was funny because, you know, it's like here's one of the most prestigious universities that has this paper that's probably been around for ages, really coming out and saying, hey, listen, this is serious. It is, you know, and... So what are we looking at over there, boys?
No, that was a couple days ago, but I know about that.
Mm. Well, I'm just seeing it now. This is 3 days ago.
Yeah. But it was about the fire that the cabin fire from the American Airlines flight leaving O'Hare International
Airport. Oh, and everybody jumping off with their bags.
Yeah. And like freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, seriously, people? And then, no, then
did
there's...
Did you see that video?
The woman, it's like, move, please.
And they're all like, get the bitch, fuck out there's, the way. We're all, there's nowhere to go.
We all want out.
I would have been jumping over the seats. Fuck you all. I'm sorry. I've been hanging from the freaking stowage up in,
like
in the
swinging
top.
Like freaking Tarzan from hello? The...
I would have probably already taken my Xanax and would have been asleep.
I would have been asleep too. The last time I got on a plane, my ass was knocked out the second I sat down.
I'm surrounded.
I can
by
just picture Tommy, like the freaking oxygen mask come down. He's like swinging like Tarzan down the thing.
I'm ready to go.
I can't.
You know, but the good thing is that the plane never really like left. Can you imagine if the plane was in midair and that happened?
It's happened many times,
you know,
unfortunately.
But the good thing about this is that it happened while the plane was still on the tarmac.
Right.
And that it allowed people to actually get out. But I'm like, oh, my God.
I'll tell you one thing. Those motherfuckers are going to fly free for life.
You think?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Are you joking me? Fuck yeah. If it was me, I would fly free for life. I would be like, by the way, I don't want American. I want JetBlue, so figure that out. Bye.
Yeah, right. I would not be getting on one of their planes.
Oh, she don't even go here. Not in this airline. No, but listen, there's some speculation. I was reading something. I'm not sure how true it is, but supposedly a prominent Pennsylvania politician has stated that Yanglin.
Oh, yeah.
The owner
yeah.
of Yanglin actually is backing Trump. And so now there is this call online to boycott Yanglin as a beverage that's being served.
Well, it's actually the boycott's already started. There's a lot of bars in DC who have
stopped serving
and receiving orders from Yanglin. And that's probably around the nation, really, but DC has been. The most recent article I read was about DC and the bars in DC. Rejecting Yuengling.
And well, even looking back to, even though Stolichnaya vodka is actually made in Latvia, even though Latvia is very close to the Russian Federation, so they're definitely going to uphold on to some of their guidelines on human rights and civil rights for LGBT members. So there are many bars, including the bar you guys work at, that were boycotting Russian vodkas, yep. Let it be Stolichnaya, Smirnoff, even though Smirnoff I don't even think is actually from Russia.
Well, we've never carried Smirnoff to begin with. We used to have Stoli,
but they removed
but then
that.
We got rid of it.
And there were other liquor, and I noticed at liquor stores that used to carry it, and they didn't have anything to do with, like they weren't gay owned, but they just were standing up for human rights, so they removed Stolichnaya off their shelves. Like I said, Stolichnaya is actually from Latvia, but when Russia was really making it okay to persecute gay people, the police would not come when someone was getting beaten for being gay. So this is a way that some people can stand up, and we have to boycott these places.
You know, I'm actually really proud of a companies, for example, like Absolute. Because mm-hmm. Absolute has gone far and beyond their involvement with the gay community. Their bottles even come out in rainbow colors mm-hmm. to support the community.
Mm-hmm. We
get them all the time, and it's amazing. So, you know, to Absolute, one of those companies out there that, you know, really goes out for the gay community, thank you. Because, you know, it feels good to be able to know that we can go out and support our local gay businesses and know that the liquor distributors also share in that endeavor.
Along with Absolute, there's actually Coors Light and mm-hmm. Miller Lite are stepping up. Every year there's a gay softball league that has a World Series somewhere in the United States, and I believe maybe in some parts of Canada. I know there are Canadian teams that play, and Coors Light is one of the main sponsors. And I was in Dallas, Texas for when Liz was playing. Coors Light sponsored everything. So there's a couple of really great businesses that help the bars, and we can continue to go to those bars with clean suppliers.
And it's great. It's great to see that a lot of, you know, businesses are stepping up to the plate and saying, hey, listen, we want to be inclusive and we want to be able to you know, promote these products and help the community as well. And Hallmark just came out with a...
Bitch! That was my story.
I was waiting for
it. But it's fine. You can talk about it.
No, but go ahead. I'll let you take that one.
No, that's fine. Whatever. You go ahead, Tommy. Go ahead.
I just know that they came out with a Christmas ad. So tell us about it.
I don't know. You tell me.
I did not watch the video, bitch.
Such a bitch.
What video?
Whatever video it is that maybe they put out there. It's a commercial, isn't it?
I don't know.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Talking to the fucking mic, Nick.
Talk, Nick. Come on.
Sorry, guys. I'm kind of a cunt today. Just so.
Kinda. Super.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Super C.
Hallmark put out an ad with a gay couple. And yeah, we don't want to think about Christmas already because...
It's Halloween.
It's Halloween today. It's right now is Halloween.
Yep. But they put out an... it's a ad for Hallmark, and this gay couple just got their first home in 2016, and they pulled out a Christmas tree, a fake Christmas tree out of a box, and they were like, oh, this is our first Christmas tree together. And he's like, well, it needs something. And they put a little Hallmark ornament on it that said, you know, first home 2016. And then one of the partners was like, mi casa, su casa. I was like, Tommy's gonna love this. He's Spanish. This is a biracial couple.
That is so gay. But I love it.
Dos birds.
Mi casa, su casa.
But it's always really amazing when we see, you know, these companies putting out these
amazing
ads for, you know.
Are you okay, honey?
Yeah.
Do you need more alcohol?
I don't know what my problem is today. I'm just not here. I mean, I am here.
Yeah, he is here. He's here. He's
but, just, like, I'm just...
He's tired. Trust me when I tell you, we had a very, very, very busy weekend.
Yeah. I mean, working at the bar for me, honestly, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, which is my normal shifts, is hard enough. And then you add a Saturday shift in. And then I work, you know, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. I'm dead on the inside right now, like legitimately dead on the inside. And I had a great time at the bar, and you know, I made good money, and it all went into my fucking car today. And
he had to get new rotors. Let's talk Butch for a minute. So he had to get new rotors. He had to get new tires. He got to hit. Had to get what?
New rotors on my in my back. In my back, uh-huh. I got new rotors in the back, girl. You know, it's greased up, ready to go, Chris. Anyway, so new rotors, new brakes. I had to get my calipers in the front fixed. I had to get a new alignment because that shit was all banged out. Mm-hmm. And I had to get an oil change, and they shamed me pretty badly about my oil
change. Yeah, that was really hilarious. Shame. They're like, we changed your oil long overdue.
Ouch. And they also told me that I was put on the naughty list at the mechanic. I mean, these are the guys that we use at the theater, so they, you know, they treat us really well, but I'm on the naughty list because I don't take care of my vehicle.
So serious question then. Friday night, I went out to their bar, and I got fucking wasted. So what car did you drive me home in?
That's not
the car that I picked you up in today.
Oh, okay. Really? I thought I was in your car.
No.
So I was in an SUV?
Yes.
Now you know he was really fucked up. But yeah, Chris came over and met us, and I was working, and I look over to the corner, and I'm like, there's Chris, and I'm like, oh my God, there's Chris. He's like, hi.
He actually seemed okay.
No, I was fine. I hit me on the way home. Yeah. Tommy's exaggerating.
He's sitting in the bar, and he's like, I'm gonna Uber home. I was like, I'll drive you home. We live right around the corner from my house. And then we're in the car, and he puts on, you know, our future wedding song, and it's called If I Were a Moose, obviously. And he just starts leaning on me. He's like, I just need to cuddle. I just need to cuddle. I'm like, you need to get out of this car.
But I was in my lederhosen, so I was looking pretty good.
Why do you think you look so good in your lederhosen?
Because I feel so good in my lederhosen.
you looked nice that night.
Yay. Can I ask a question, a very serious question? Because they're serious today. How many times have you worn that lederhosen now?
I don't know.
It's got to be like at least 20 times.
No, not that much. I washed the shirt. I don't know how to treat the lederhosen. Well, actually, one of our listeners did send a link on my page to how to treat lederhosen, but I don't get shit on them. You know what I mean? Well, I mean, like, I don't spill things on them.
I was going to say, wait a minute. How could you possibly get shit?
I did spill beer. I went to East Side Restaurant in New Britain on Friday night, and finally you can get like a fucking liter beer, like the big old ones. And I did spill a little beer on myself, but you know, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Huh. Okay. Well,
hey, enough about my lederhosen.
Well, it's never enough.
So, anyway, speaking of alcohol, so we today did not come up with a cocktail because we were like, I'm exhausted. I cannot go running around shopping and getting all these ingredients to make a signature cocktail today.
Yeah, and I also had to spend almost $1,000 in my car. Vodka soda, and we'll tell you how to make something, all right?
So, what we're going to do is we're going to suggest a cocktail, a Halloween cocktail. So, today's cocktail, we were going to suggest, because it is Halloween, a zombie.
Hangover warning.
Yeah, well, it's very sweet. It is very sweet. So, you know, you have to bear with the fact that, you know, once you start drinking it, you really don't know that it's hitting you until it does.
Well, we're safe. We warned them. Hangover's going to happen.
So, yeah, it will happen. So, we have, okay. So,
cover your ass.
So, what it has inside, it has light rum, dark rum. You have to get some apricot liquor, some orange juice, a dash of lime bitters, and 1 ounce of Bacardi rum. So, now you have light rum, dark rum, Bacardi rum.
151.
Dash. Oh, shit. No, it's 151.
Yeah, I was like,
oh,
no,
my God, guys, they don't make 151 anymore.
That stuff's illegal to serve as shots in the state of Connecticut.
No, they don't make it anymore.
Good, because that shit's flammable.
Yeah, I know.
Like, incredibly
flammable. Still make it in Puerto Rico. It's just that we can't sell it here.
Oh, my God. It's going to be like it's like Cuban cigars.
Well, actually, President Obama just lifted that.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Good for you, Obama.
Yeah, as long as it's for personal smoking.
You can bring them across. You know, a lot of people that go, like, even someone I know lives in Florida, and he'll take a two-hour boat ride to Cuba, and he can bring him back. He's a cigar smoker, but you can't bring him back for business.
What else does he bring him back?
Something.
I was going to make a joke, but then I was afraid they might look into him, even though I didn't mention him. So we'll forget it. Okay. No, nothing bad.
So anyway, going back to our cocktail. So basically, you combine the light rum, the dark rum, and the apricot liquor, orange juice, and bitters using a cocktail shaker. You pour all of that into a large glass filled with ice, and you top it off with a shot of 151. Preferably, if you want to, put it right into the straw, because when you take that first hit, you're really going to feel it. So just to let you know, 151 is very strong.
151 proof.
You will feel it the next morning. I recommend that maybe have one of those. Don't go too crazy. But yes, the zombie is the recommended drink for today in honor of Halloween. So,
yavol.
Yes, queen. So what else do we have, boys?
So Will and Grace is officially in the works. They're going to do a reboot.
I really love their whole skit that they did for the election. That was amazing.
Yeah, it was the one that I was playing earlier.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it was great. They did a rendition of Officer Krupke in support of Hillary Clinton. And it was hilarious. If you haven't seen it, you can check it out on, I believe I saw it on advocate.com. It might have been out, but I'm not sure. But yes, so they're doing a reboot. And it's probably going to be like a 10-episode limited series type of thing. But I am so excited.
I am too. I can't wait because that was, let me tell you, that's one show that I saw every episode. I never missed it.
Yeah, when I was a kid, like, you know, I would like secretly sneak Will and Grace because I didn't want my parents to know that I was watching a show about gay people. Mm-hmm. But I loved it so much, so eventually I came out and then I would just binge watch it at home. But it was like that show, it was my secret show that I watch. I'm like, I'm watching Will and Grace, my parents don't know. And you know, you have that like show, that other TV channel.
So you can hit last.
Yeah, so you can hit last and go right back.
And it's like WWF.
Like a stupid thing. Like,
not anymore.
We all know the struggle.
No, let me tell you. It was a fun show. I really learned a lot. obviously, you know, the skits were meant to be funny, but there was a lot of informative things that happened on that show.
Oh, yeah,
they touched a lot of really good topics, especially at a time when being gay really wasn't that popular. You know, they really put it out there in the forefront and in the media, you know. I mean, if you think back to what happened to Ellen DeGeneres, for example, you know, when she decided that she was going to come out on the Ellen show before, not the Ellen show that she has now, but she had a comedy series as well. Mm-hmm. And when she decided to have her character come out in the comedy series, they canceled her show. I mean, so to have a show.
She's doing just fine.
Amazing now. Thank you very much. Ellen, we still love you and we want to hear from you. So let us know.
Come on, Gay Talk.
Yes, queen.
She got voted number one entertainer this year, I believe.
That's amazing.
I feel like that's every year, though.
Well, she is the best.
She is pretty great.
She's amazing. Yeah. She's amazing. She really is.
Well, speaking of voting and gay stuff.
Yes, queen.
Gayest parliament in the world? Scotland.
Are you serious?
Scotland.
It must be all those. What do you call those?
The kilts?
The kilts.
The kilts.
The kilts with the free balling. Sorry.
According to a North Carolina professor who keeps track of LGBT politicians across the world, says the Scottish Parliament is the gayest parliament in the world. The Scottish Parliament has 10 members that identify as either gay, lesbian, bisexual, and that totals nearly 8% of the 129-member body of Parliament. So good for you, Scotland, and for the Scottish people who are putting their sexual orientation aside for the greater good of Scotland.
Well, that's not the only thing they're putting aside, because they're really seriously considering now to do another exit from Britain because of this whole Brexit thing. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know, we really don't want to leave the European Union, and you're kind of forcing the issue on us. So they might have another referendum.
Right, but I saw something, and I can't remember. Someone was saying that she has no right to try to leave there. One of the women that's pushing for it was basically called out in Scotland, saying that they have no right to go for that vote. But we'll have to wait and see.
We'll have to see what develops. I mean, it's an interesting space to watch, only because, you know, that whatever they decide to do has an implication not only for that nation, for the UK, but also for the European Union. And it's interesting to see how this Brexit is going to play out in the markets as well, because, you know, money is tied into all of this shit.
Right. You know? Money's always tied into everything.
But you know what? Let's talk about kilts.
Let's talk about kilts and them free balls. Okay. Yes.
So back in the day, back in the day.
How far back in the day?
Probably now, I would say, so what? I'm almost 30. Probably about 10 years.
Okay.
I was hanging out with somebody who wore kilts all the time.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
And we weren't dating or anything. This person is straight, but wore kilts, freeballing all the time. And let me tell you, I would definitely take a couple steps back walking upstairs behind him, because God damn, that man was hung.
But you know what I find that men, especially Scottish men, or just men in general that wear kilts, have amazing
legs,
calves,
and butts.
Oh,
I honestly just wanted to put my head up underneath that kilt.
So this particular weekend,
exactly what I wanted to do. I just wanted to be up in it, and he was uncircumcised. And I'm sorry, I saw something the other day where these women. Oh, what movie was it? I watched a movie called Bad Moms, which I loved. It was really good, but they were talking about uncircumcised penis and how scared people are of uncircumcised penis. Let me tell you firsthand, they're the best.
Of course they are.
I love it.
Clean.
Well, yeah, no. I mean, if there's a slight smell, you just say, well, let's take a shower before we hook up. Like, it's not that. No.
You pull the skin back, you wash it out, you know, don't put the tongue down there yet. And, you know, sex tips. There you go. Clean out.
Didn't we talk about docking with that one time?
Oh, we did.
Oh,
yeah.
Ray had a really field day with that.
No, he had a field day with what was the
docking?
What? Felching.
Felching.
He's like, you should be shot for that.
Well, speaking of Ray and our friends over at the Idiots Radio, they're going through some issues right now where this specific paper wrote an article claiming that the Ray Anthony that's on the show is this public figure that's running for a school board. And we're like, what? And that supposedly the show is anti-gay and that the show is very prejudiced and defamatory towards women. And I was reading all this stuff and I'm thinking to myself, this cannot be the same people that we know.
No, fuck you. They have two women on the show and they bring on guests all the time.
Of including
course. They are homophobic, but they love their homos.
Of course they do.
And no, by homophobic, all I mean is that they like to, you know, say what they want to say, and then I just clap back.
Exactly, but here, but listen.
But I mean, I'm dating Schmo.
Hello, Schmo's your husband, and you know, and I want Andy sausage fingers.
Oh my God,
was it Andy? Yeah,
I'll never forget that day when we were sitting in that. Yeah, when we were sitting in that studio, and you just were sweating, and then he put his hands up, and Tommy's jaw dropped.
I was like, oh my God. No, but the amazing thing is that, you know, when we started this, because we're what? This is episode 36 for us. We've been on the air for 36 weeks.
35.
Well, this will be the 36th episode.
35th. 35 weeks, though, because we skipped an episode, remember?
We did. Oh. We skipped episode 13.
Because they superstitious.
Trish, you're smart. I'm proud of you, girl.
I know.
All right now. So, you know, they were one of the first people to embrace us as a show and say, hey, come down. We would love to have you guys down. And yeah, they can get pretty racy on the show, but listen.
So can we.
It's comedy. There's no such thing as an appropriate joke. That's why it's a joke.
Exactly. And so to say that, you know, they're anti-gay or that, you know,
feminist or anti-feminist or against women, not feminist.
It is completely untrue.
Andy Julia has four daughters.
Beautiful daughters.
Yes. Like,
and, you know, The important thing is that, you know, so let me tell you what this reporter did. She shows up at the studio trying to, you know, catch whoever this Ray person is. We've all met Ray. The Ray that they have on that article is not the Ray that we met in the studio. So, but she goes there with her daughters, with her children, to report on the story. And we're like, you can't have these kids here. Knowing what the show does and what the show says, why would you bring your children to the show? You don't do that. Anyway, this woman, she was beyond just inappropriate. And I read the story and I was like, yeah, this doesn't really fly. And just to let you know, we support the Idiots Radio because we know it's comedy and it's not comedy for everybody. But that's why they're an internet radio service. And you literally have to look for them in order to like them. And I encourage that you do because they're amazing.
I agree.
So that's that. So we love you, the Idiots Radio.
Mm-hmm.
We shout support out. You, and we are part of the LGBT community, and we support the Idiots Radio.
Jawohl.
Yes, Queen.
Speaking of LGBT.
Yes.
What month is next month, Tommy?
Next month is National Transgendered Awareness Month.
And that's the T in LGBT.
Yes, Queen.
That is the T.
So we're looking into...
A lot of you probably think it was lesbian, gay, bisexual, and Trish. But just to clarify,
it's not Trish.
Just to clarify, it's not Trish. LBGTT. We're going to add another one for you, though.
Oh, thanks, boo boo.
I got you. Ooh, he's a beautiful. All right. I had to get one in. It's been like 20 minutes.
So, you know, I just wanted to throw that out there. But yeah, LGBTQ+, you know, there's so much. So listen, we should get into Angels and Assholes.
Hold on. I just want to say one more thing.
Yes, please do. Please do. I want to fucking smack those duck lips off him. Sorry, go ahead. I'm pissed.
We haven't harped on Trump enough today. I mean, okay. This
fuck
is,
her.
You know, I mean, Trump talk. This is it's time to talk about this douchebag. So Donald showed up. I'm not even going to Donald. Not Mr. Trump. You've lost all my respect.
His face. Don. Hillary would say
just,
that.
Just call Don. Him Dick. Just call him Dick.
Don the Dick waves an LGBT rainbow flag at a Colorado rally. Go fuck yourself. And Greeley. Like, and people were cheering for him. And on it, it said LGBTs for Trump. He wrote it in fucking marker.
Like a Sharpie.
LGBTs. You don't have enough money to even like go... LGBTs.
Yeah, you can't make that shit plural.
There's an S in the corner.
Yeah.
Well, because he doesn't know about the LGBT community.
Whatever. Whatever. It was an empty gesture. Mm. And
his whole campaign is
say
empty.
That whole thing. That's
okay,
right.
Fine. It was an empty gesture from the Republican nominee who opposes marriage equality and has a proudly homophobic running mate.
Fuck you, Mike Pence.
Hello.
And I just need to say this was an article by Michael Lambert.
Thank you very much. Mike Pence, eat a bag of dicks.
The fact that he honestly could walk on stage with a fucking rainbow flag, and he literally wrote on it. It's like somebody just randomly had it in the audience and handed it to him.
Okay.
What was that?
Keep going.
Somebody just like handed it to him and then he took a fucking Sharpie and wrote LGBT on it. Like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. All right.
They're the worst.
So I need to say this because they'll probably go off. So I have the Nest security system and I have like the thermostat and the fire detecting alarms. And every so often they test themselves. It decided to do it while we're recording our show. So that's what buzzed in and Nick sort of kind of freaked out.
Is that new?
I thought it was just because I got heated about Trump.
Well, I guess if we made it 35 weeks, that's not bad.
No, they test themselves each month, but it just happens.
Happened to fall on right
this
now.
This is the first time that it happened during the show. So anyway, stop it. Don't do that. Go ahead. Keep going. Trump, that bitch.
I'm pretty sure I was done with that. I just wanted to, yeah.
No, you know, and as we said before, I mean, this man really, like, he's on the book supporting a lot of anti-LGBTQ legislature that's all over the U.S.
Just beyond Trump. I mean, Mike Pence himself is, like, embodiment of everything against the LGBT community. Like this beautiful meme I saw on Facebook.
How beautiful.
It was so beautiful.
Was it
uncut penis beautiful?
No. It said, I'm going to get it for you. Gays for Trump are like mudbloods for Voldemort.
I love Harry Potter. Yes, queen.
And for all those non-Harry Potter fans, which I hope there are none of, Voldemort wanted to kill off mudbloods.
So that's basically it. And even worse than Donald Trump is his running mate, Mike Pence. Like, if Donald Trump got assassinated, remember, this man takes his place.
And he might have a pretty face, but let me tell you, that's the demon.
Oh, no, it's a demon face. I see black eyes when I stare at this man. You know, I saw this video on Facebook, and it was a picture of this child with all these beating marks over them. And it said, this woman is using religious freedoms as defense for beating her son. In 2008, Mike Pence signed a law allowing parents to discipline their children however they deemed is right, because that's their religious freedom. You know, we can beat the devil out of this child. And he signed that into law. You, Mike Pence, hear me. You are a terrible human being and you will be destroyed along with the GOP. Hillary Clinton and the Democrats are taking you down on November 8th, and I'm looking forward to it.
I've never seen Chris passionate.
His voice just got so deep.
I just got hard on.
I didn't really get hard, but...
All right, listen, guys. We have to...
Oh, I feel better now.
You know, we are moving into Angels and Assholes, I'm just going to do one quick thing before we start Angels and Assholes.
Should I
play the music, it's fine. But there was a Christian haunted house that was supposed to depict the Pulse shooting, and it got canceled.
Thank God.
And I think that it was important that we said that before this. Fuck you. You Christian motherfuckers who thought it would be a fun idea to have a haunted house depicting 49 people's deaths.
Yeah, that's horrible.
40 fucking 9 people died, and you wanted to fucking have a haunted house. Go fuck yourself.
So grab Mike Pence and eat a bag of dicks.
Hello.
On that note, you're assholes this week.
Well,
you only have one, actually. So the following senator from the state of Nevada, Harry Reid, voted yes. So claps.
Thank you, Harry.
Thank you, Mr. Reid.
He's actually retiring this year, so, you know.
Good work while you're there.
Other senator, Dean Heller, Republican, voted no to common sense gun reform. And for his inaction, we label him an asshole.
Big time asshole. But anyway, for our angel for this episode, we'd like to dedicate this episode to Juan Ramos Guerrero, 22 years old. Guys.
Sorry.
Guerrero was actually the boyfriend of Christopher Linionen. I know I said his last name wrong, and I apologize. Who we dedicated an episode back on August 1st as part of episode 23, which was The Struggle Bus Is Real. And the Orlando Sentinel reported that Guerrero was a former Valencia College student, a pre-finance student at the University of Central Florida, which posted in memoriam on its website for him and Linionen. Again, I'm not sure if that's how you read his last name, so forgive me, who earned a bachelor's and a master's degree in psychology from UCF. Their funerals were held together. They were partners, so the mother, Christine of Linionen, decided to talk to the parents of Guerrero, and they decided to hold a funeral together,
which is beautiful,
for them, which was amazing. So anyway, Christine was the mother. She was also very pivotal in fighting for gun control. She took center stage at the Democratic convention to speak about her loss, her views on gun control, and is now actively campaigning for Hillary Clinton. So we would like to dedicate this episode again to the wonderful Juan Ramos Guerrero. We'll be right back. This is Pulse by Melissa Etheridge. In my blood, love will always win. Underneath the skin, everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win. Underneath the skin, everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win. Underneath the skin, everybody's got a pulse. Everybody's got a pulse. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. That was Pulse by Melissa Etheridge, honoring our fallen brothers and sisters at Pulse Nightclub. Welcome back to the second half of the show. And with us, we have Eric Ransom, writer of More Than All the World. And we also have the director of that very same musical, Rachel Klein, on the show with us. Guys, welcome to the show.
It's Hello. Wonderful to be back.
Hello.
And for those of you who are listening to that. What was that, honey?
I said I'm a virgin. It's my first time, so.
Honey, you
spoiler alert.
Four men popping your cherry.
So for those of you listening to that very familiar voice, Eric has been on the show multiple times. One of the first times he came on the show, we were talking about Grindr the Opera, which he also wrote as well.
And which Rachel also directs.
So, I mean, we've got a lot of talent right now on Skype with us that have done a lot of wonderful projects, which we've gotten the opportunity to actually see. And some of the work, and we're looking forward to seeing more of your work. So, but today we're talking about More Than All the World. Yes, what's going on? Tell us about More Than All the World.
So it's a bit of a departure from Grindr the Opera insofar as it is derived from an Elizabethan play, Edward II by Christopher Marlowe, which was written in the 1590s. And it is widely considered to be the first kind portrayal of a queer person in literature.
Now, for all of our for all of our listeners, Christopher Marlowe, is he not the man who has in time been, people say that he may actually have been Shakespeare? Shakespeare took all of his work?
The Marlowians do believe that.
Okay.
Is the term for them. And recently, just this week, it was announced that he is publicly being acknowledged as a co-writer on Henry VI.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Shakespeare, yes. That was literally just announced this week, and it was like a big deal.
So yeah, there was drama back then too. Anyway, sorry, back to you.
So I'm super excited about this production only because I'm seeing some of the pictures that are coming out and that you guys are putting out in social media. And let me tell you, that's one hell of an ad campaign. You guys look hot.
An ad campaign and an ab campaign.
Pretty much, because let me tell you, I was like, one of them standing in the corner was like all abs. I was like, I'm going to the show.
Yeah.
Rachel's good at highlighting the special skills of our actors.
Yes, and in that case, abs were the special skill.
So, Rachel, let me ask you a question.
Super talented and amazing people. However, we do like to exploit them for fun.
I mean, yeah, it's perfect. Well, so does Ellen. Ellen exploits every single man on her show. Take off your shirt.
Pretty much. So, Rachel, let me ask you a question. So we know what the, what this man is capable of, this amazing man that you're standing next to, Eric Ransom.
My work husband.
Yes, your work husband. Tell us what it's like to work with him. What is your process together?
Well, this is, what is it? Is this our fifth collaboration or our sixth?
I think six.
Sixth. Okay. When we met, clicked instantly because Eric thinks in such an epic scope, which is something that I respond to directly. Nobody hires me to do their kitchen sink drama. It has never happened. I will never direct True West, and that is okay with me. I think in visuals and stage pictures, so instantly when we start the conversations about a production, can you guys hear me? I'm seeing...
No, you're good.
Okay. instantly when I read a passage or just a line there, I'm like, oh my God, Eric, so how about we do this? I have this idea. I have this particular costume item in my collection. Why don't we articulate it this way? Can I get a vamp here? 4 counts of 8 and I need some strobe lights. And Eric's like, yeah, of course. And okay. So I'm normally one of those directors, writer's worst enemy, never read stage directions. Eric now writes stage directions specifically for me.
That's amazing.
Like, there will be some things akin to, there will be an amazing dance break here where I'm assuming a bunch of shirtless guys will be shimmying across the stage, throwing glitter in the air all over.
There will be not one gay man falling asleep during this presentation. I'll tell you that right now.
Everybody.
But I will say this though. Some of those pictures I've seen you in leather pants. Eric, yes, you.
Oh, I was like, which one of us?
let me tell you, I saw a picture of Eric with some hot leather pants on, and I'm like, all right, I could see this. It's happening.
Stop.
They're actually and fashionable.
Stop it.
But you have to come in person to see this.
Yes, and you can touch them. If you guys come to New York to see it, you may touch. The velvet part is on his ass, so you may touch that.
All right. We definitely will come. We have to figure out what date we're going to come, but we're definitely going to come into New York to see the show.
Yay.
And we encourage our listeners to do so as well. So let's get some information out to our listeners. When is the show starting? When is it kicking off? And how long is it going?
Wait, before we do that.
Okay.
We cut you off earlier. So can you just tell me a little bit about what the show is about?
Yeah. So you don't know what it is, but go see it.
Go see it. Listen,
I will say this, though. Anything that that man does is super creative. You have to go see it. Now go.
Okay. So it is the true story of King Edward II, who was as close as we can figure out to being an openly gay English king in the 14th century. He fell in love with a knight named Piers Gaveston, who was actually introduced to him by his father. They had fought together in Scotland in the wars there, depicted in Braveheart.
Depicted poorly and
inaccurately in Braveheart. His father was basically like the way we portrayed in this show. The way we portrayed in the show, which is very possibly true, is that King Edward I, Edward II's father, saw this like knight who did great in battle and was like notoriously a wonderful knight. And was like, hey, son, you're like sitting around writing poetry. Why don't you be more like this guy? Like, I want you to be friends with him. And then instead of that working out, they became lovers.
Obviously.
Well, I mean, makes sense.
Then, it makes sense.
And then the king very notoriously showed favor to his lover over his own wife at the coronation. And it ultimately led to civil wars that wherein his wife brought an army from France and invaded and deposed him. I believe Edward II was the first English king to survive to see his son crowned because he was deposed by his wife in a sort of like proto-homophobic campaign, which used strikingly similar rhetoric to what we hear today. Yeah. Because it's the same argument now that it was in 1327.
That's crazy.
So, yeah.
so Eric just gave you the smart version.
We want the good version now.
All right. There's like so much hot gay sex. Like,
well, you just won over about like 2/3 of the countries listening to us.
Great.
I'm a nerd.
And, you know, there's a little something for the straight dudes, too. Our ladies are, I mean, as you see from the photos, they are stunning.
I would be a lesbian for the Stockdale sisters.
Oh, yeah, me too. Oh, please. They're gorgeous. I can't even handle it.
I'm supposed to be neglectful of my wife. I'm playing Edward in this. And I'm supposed to be neglectful of my wife, and it's very difficult.
She's like the hottest woman in the world.
And she's just
so I'm looking at one of the pictures that we have on our website, which is www.ktalk20.com, where you can go and look at the pictures that we posted for this wonderful presentation. One of the actresses, and I'm thinking it's Emily Stockdale. Mm-hmm. She's the one with the black. What was that?
Does she look just like Sailor Moon?
Does she look like an anime character?
She looks amazing.
Does she look like Sailor Moon?
Absolutely stunning.
Both Stockdales are very gorgeous, but one looks more like Sailor Moon than the other. That's just my point of reference.
Okay.
So I see the other one here. Okay, so are they sisters?
Yes.
They are sisters.
Oh my God, this is amazing. So you have siblings working with you on the production and acting. This is fantastic.
And they're really, really great together as actresses. Like, one of them plays Queen Isabella. That's Grace, who is just a phenomenal actress. And she gives you all the levels of pathos. It's a very difficult role. You have to start out being an ingenue, and then you have to turn into Cersei Lannister, basically, for all you GOT fans.
Oh, you got me.
And in part based on Queen Isabella.
Totally. Emily plays Catalina, the lady-in-waiting, who is the comic relief. So she's got some serious character actress chops, and she's, like, hilarious. So we had our designer run through today, and our designers, they all read the play, obviously, and they're very familiar with it, and they were dying. They were busting up at everything that Emily did.
So we have to ask.
Yes.
There's another photo, and there's a gentleman with his abs out to the left of the photo.
Oh, yes.
I'm assuming you're talking about Mike Puglisi.
Okay. Are those real? Oh. I have to ask.
They're real.
Lord have mercy. We're going to have fun at this show. Well, Mike, you're in trouble now. Well, I just have to say, I mean, he's pulling his shirt slightly over. And
he's showing a sensible splash of nip.
And that's the costume in the show. So
he looks like Josh Hutcherson from the angle I'm getting right now.
And he looks absolutely stunning. So I got to show Chris here what we're looking at. And I'm like, oh my God. Yeah, I mean, you have some absolutely beautiful people acting out these. There's no doubt you're going to fill seats on the show.
Yeah, for most people might think that it's the vodka that was making my mouth water. No, it was him. What's his name again?
Those pictures, we have to give credit to Michael Blaze. Who
LowerEastPhotography.com.
Who built that beautiful, like, H.R. Geiger set and shot those pictures so beautifully.
Kudos to him.
This is
great.
Some great stuff. Listen, if you send me that information, I'll actually put it in the captions for the pictures.
I'll tell you when we get off the interwebs together.
Absolutely, because I think that, you know what, work like this needs to be recognized and work like this needs to be shared. So absolutely.
He does all of our photos. Michael is a fabulous studio photographer, and I've been working with him since 2011 or 12, and he did Coming. That was another show that Eric and I did together for the Fringe Festival a few years ago.
Yes, Grindr and Coming.
Grindr, Coming.
Oh my God.
So is this a softcore porn?
You know, it's
the fact that it wasn't a yes or no.
Hockeyan than that, you know, at least like there's still a lot left to the imagination.
Well, one thing I say
is there's like not that much left to the imagination.
This was me like trying to show like after Grindr the Opera like blew up and was in so much press, I was trying to show like I can do something, you know, like that could play in a regional theater or whatever.
Right.
So honestly, like I still did like all the dirty jokes that I did in Grindr and Coming, but I just put them in Elizabethan slang.
Right.
So it's like, it's
and it works.
See it. But like in the script, if like.
Eric's so smart.
So now, how can people get tickets? What are the dates? When can we see this? And where is this going to be playing?
We are on Ovation Tix. I can look up the exact link.
Or you can go to morethanalltheworld.com. We'll have the link right
that
there.
That might be easier.
We actually have that. We have that website actually on our page. So you can click on the link and it'll take you right to where you can get tickets.
Awesome.
Great. We open officially on November 9th. We're a limited engagement. We run through November 19th. We are opening to previews this weekend, either the 4th or 5th. It's at Theater for the New City, the Johnson Theater. That's their larger space. They have several spaces there. And the address is 155 First Avenue. It's between East 9th and East 10th Street, right in the heart of the village.
Oh, this is going to be a great.
Yeah, this we're going to have fun.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Surrounded by all of the drinking establishments, never you fear.
We love alcohol. We love alcohol.
I've heard that about you.
Oh, me.
Oh, you've been in studio. You know firsthand.
I'm with you.
Yeah, you know firsthand.
We like talking in cursive, and it's fucking elegant.
Yes, it is. Jesus.
Eric only talks in calligraphy.
Well, that's pretty elegant, too.
No, that's just sexy.
So Rachel.
Ooh, you got a wink, girl.
Ooh, this is beautiful.
So, Rachel, let me ask you. So, tell me a little bit of the difference between directing Grindr the Opera and directing More Than All the World.
In many ways, they're very different. And in many ways, they are the exact same. So More Than All the World, this is a great opportunity for me to marry my musical theater training with my Shakespeare training.
Okay.
Which is something that I never get to do, is like epic costume drama combined with the scope of musical theater. So this has been such a complete joy. Grindr the Opera is a little bit different in that it's straight up musical theater, except actually completely sung through. There are book scenes, so spoken dialogue in More Than All the World, whereas Grindr does not have that. Truth be told, as dirty as we get with More Than All the World, she doesn't touch Grindr. She's a dirty bitch. There is no song titled Come Dumpster in More Than All the World.
So,
but there's so much innuendo. It's kind of like watching one of those bodice rippers, except it's more like a jockstrap dance belt ripper.
Tell them about the played as boys.
Oh my God. Okay. So my dance captain, Louis Villabon, who is also contributing additional choreography. He's so fierce. You will love him. He plays a Queenie Archbishop and he's so fantastic. But he and I actually had to leave the room when we were staging this scene together because it was so, it's just so ridiculous. It's when Gaveston is exiled for like the umpteenth billion time, spoiler. He gets exiled a lot. And he meets up with his old childhood playmate, Hugh Dispenser, who historically also became involved with the king, yada, yada, see the show, you'll figure it out. But there is this scene between them where Dispenser is trying to seduce Gaveston, who's basically married to King Edward.
He's like wifey it up, yeah.
So he's not going to cheat, you know, and he has to, you know, choose between what his body wants him to do and what his heart and brain tell him to do. You know, tale as old as time. We've all been there.
Knights and their vows, right?
Hashtag adult life.
Exactly.
Hashtag Trish life.
Hashtag my bed.
Exactly. So it's such a familiar circumstance that everybody knows.
Very relatable.
But guys. So one of them is this like, is Mr. Abs from the photos, ridiculously like chiseled. The other one, he is 6'3" and thin and looks like a rock star. Like he needs to
John Jeffords.
John Jeffords is ridiculous.
Wonderfully talented.
I can just go ahead and say it because I've already told him. He's my show crush. And he's got this like Billy Idol hair. It's like, it's crazy. And the two of them together have this ridiculous will they, won't they seduction scene that was literally so hot while staging that the dance captain and I had to remove ourselves from the room for a moment just to get through it.
There won't be a...
Sorry, what?
There won't be a dry seat in the house.
Ah, there we go. When you say dry, you mean eyes or do you mean...
No, he does not mean eyes. He does not mean eyes. And that's okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Power for the boner. Let's keep it going.
Oh, and boners and wide-ons. Don't forget the ladies. Hard-ons and wide-ons. We don't discriminate here at Gay Talk 2.0.
What I've never heard that term before. But, a wide-on?
A wide-on.
But what if they're not wide?
Like Eric Ransom's giving me a wicked wide-on. That's like what a lady would say.
How did you know I got the surgery?
Wait a minute. But what if it's narrow and not wide?
It's just like because it opens them up.
Okay.
I think it's a wide-on. Chris is making this up.
Rachel, darling, what...
know what you're talking about.
No, we don't. No, we all never have penises.
You have one. Tell us.
I'm reaching out for you.
speech from Hedwig thereof.
I actually took that line from American Dad, just saying.
No wonder.
That's not a good source.
You don't even go here.
That's not a good source.
It's a very good source. So, anyway, these fucking bitches. Not you two. You two are great.
I don't think your viewership cares.
So you were cutting off a little bit. So what she said was, I could take this personally, but I don't think that our viewership would care. And
no, what I said is I could speak to it personally.
Oh, thank you.
Honestly.
You see, I didn't hear that. You know, so why don't you, honey? Do it. Shame him.
Tell us about your white on.
White shame.
Oh my God. No, white she's not shame. Shaming me. She's agreeing.
I think it's less of an expansion situation and more of like a throbbing situation, similar to men. I think it's very similar to what you experience. Yes. It's like your heart is beating in your vajazzle. That's all.
Gotcha.
Oh.
Gotcha. Okay. I get it.
So right. I get that feeling in my butt.
In her glitoris.
Yes, my glitoris.
Ah, perfect.
You have a glitoris. This is amazing.
Oh, I literally can't.
I literally can't.
All right. So this is running all the way through. At this point, the last date you have is the 19th of November, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And so there's several dates posted. What's the pricing like for our viewers if they want to know what ticket cost is going to be?
It's under something called the Equity Showcase code, which means that the tickets are $18.
Okay. So it's $18 to see the show. Yeah. It's going to be at Theater for the New City, which is located at, 1st Avenue between 9th and 10th Street. Yeah.
155 First Ave.
Oh, I screwed that up. I'm sorry.
You did.
I'm sorry.
You're drunk.
No, but it says here it's on 1st Avenue between 9th and 10th. That's on your website.
That is true.
Between 9 and 10 streets, yeah.
Okay. Oh my God, I just wanted to make sure I didn't say that.
You can
wrong.
Call him out for being drunk. It's fine. They do it to me all the time.
Oh, he's drunk all the time.
I am not.
All the time.
I just took a Benadryl. I'm ready for a nap.
He's speaking cursive, too.
And it's fucking elegant. All right, move on.
Judy Garland.
That's what comes from too much pills and liquor, as they say in cabaret.
Oh, yes, queen.
Can't get enough of that Benny.
Mm-hmm. So what once you go through the whole show and you do the entire production on the 18th, what happens next? Where do you go with More Than All the World? What's the plan? Anything coming
see
up
what
afterwards?
Happens first, right?
Eric.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first time we've done this show. So, it's an experiment to see like what the audience is, like what extent of an audience there is. Maybe it'll go through more development. I would love for it to do regional theater. I'd love to do like
you gotta get you to Humana.
That would be great. Yeah. I mean, like there's so many routes to go with it. But like right now we're just inviting a lot of people in the industry and so forth to see what they think, and hopefully opportunities will arise from it. I'm sure something will arise from it. I don't know what it's going to be. Or
this is an amazing show. Yeah. He outdid himself this time. We work together all the time, and everything he does is amazing. Obviously, that's why I've latched myself onto him, and I'm not going to let my talents out of him ever. But this show is so special. Okay. Like, this show's, it's going places, Eric. He's so fucking humble. He's like not. He's like
well,
pretending
I,
to be for you guys. But
with, with this show, since it's real people, several real people. Marlo himself is depicted in it. Edward II is obviously depicted in it. And I found this play, the play by Marlo, when I was very young and like coming to terms with my own sexuality and seeing like, oh God, like this person in Elizabethan England, who was a contemporary of Shakespeare, wrote this play about like an out gay king who was out 700 years ago, more than 700 years ago. Like I'm not alone. And like that meant so much to me. So for me to be able to not only put up this play, but also to portray Marlo and Edward, who represent something so important to me, something that's so much a part of me, is an absolute dream come true. I'm so, so proud of this play, and I'm so excited that after 6 years, I'm finally able to do it.
That's amazing, though. And so do you see yourself doing something like you did similarly to Grindr the Opera, and where you'll do a micro version of the musical – In any,
this one I can't imagine.
Yeah, this seems different to me as well. Grindr, I feel like
information in this one is the thing. You can't really take the songs out of context because it's all tracking history.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, like Grindr, it's like those songs are in many cases like so relatable immediately. Okay. Where it's like someone could like in those bars where we did it, like someone could be looking up from Grindr and be like, "Oh my god, I just did that."
Or I'm doing that.
But Jewel outside with a contrarian soldier kind of thing. You know what I mean? It's like it's Game of Thrones-y, let's face it.
And I'll tell you this much. I mean, I'm super excited to be able to see this production only because I've always been a fan of English history and the monarchies and watching how things progress in that space. Mm-hmm. So I'm super excited. I definitely want to see this and see where it goes.
I can't wait for your feedback when you do.
Oh, trust me. You know, I'm just going to be there probably like, I just saw abs. Wait, did I see a little bit of ass in there somewhere?
Was there glitter on those abs? There sure was.
There will be glitter on the abs.
Yes.
That is shot out of her glitoris.
They don't care about my glitoris, Eric. Stop.
So we got to come down. We got to see the show. We got to get you into some regional theaters. We got to get you to go to Humana.
Can we talk about Humana? Because you've mentioned it twice, but I'm not a theater. I'm not in the theater industry, so I don't know what it is.
It's the biggest new American play festival in the nation.
Okay.
People come from all over the nation and all over the world to Louisville, Kentucky at Actors Theater of Louisville.
Good pronunciation.
Thank you. I, you know, lived there for a while. You got to pronounce it like you got a dick in your mouth, Louisville. that's literally what somebody told me when I moved there.
Which is not a problem for him because he always has a dick in his mouth.
No, but they do about, so at the end of their season, they do a festival, and the festival is 8 new plays that they put on in rep. So in the main stage space, they usually have 2 that rotate in and out. And then in the Bingham, which is Theater in the Round, they have 3 plus the Apprentice show. So that's 4. And then they have a smaller space, the Victor Jory space, where they do another show, which is more of an experimental piece, which I feel like would be a great space for you guys. So
how can we get them on that?
Well, that invite that Eric sent me, I should probably forward it to the company manager at Actors Theater of Louisville.
So we're going to need to do that. And for our listeners, if you know anyone in that area that has any control whatsoever.
I actually might have just... Okay, so I just came from a regional theater gig at the Jenny Wiley Theater in a place called Pikeville, Kentucky.
Okay.
Directing Dracula, obviously.
Time of year.
The listeners can't see her, but she looks like a vampirist.
It was... If anybody out there has seen Elvira, Mistress of the Dark...
Loved her.
It was very similar. I didn't actually get burnt at the stake, but that's what they were all thinking when I walked down the street. I had a great team out there. I met some amazing people. All the people that work for the theater, they're amazing. Fabulous. One of them is in town randomly on another gig and is like helping us with tech.
What's his name?
His name is Moose.
Oh. Is Moose.
Of course. Moose. Chris is happy.
Canada. I like Moose.
Yeah, he's like a big straight dude named Moose from Kentucky. So everybody,
I like him already.
On that, but yeah, everybody was super fantastic, and I was very nervous because I'm like, okay, I'm in the Bible Belt. I'm doing my interpretation of Dracula. So
there's probably gay sex, right?
Yeah, there was so much gay sex.
Like so much gay sex.
Oh, my Renfield. He is like a sex icon. Ugh. So funny to see the teenage girls' reaction to him because like it's like they want a poster of him in
their
locker.
They don't know. It's Kentucky.
I know.
but you'd be surprised though.
Well, I did do an experiment with my cast when we went out drinking. I was like, everybody get on your grinders and your scruffs. I wanna see who's online, and then we all lived to regret it. But anyway.
Not tea.
Anyway, great theater, great experience. And now I have been to the South, so I feel very worldly.
Yeah. You know, Kentucky's actually surprisingly a great place. When I was there for almost a full year, and I met a lot of gay people, had a lot of fun. Yeah. And it's actually, Louisville itself is actually pretty liberal. I mean,
care about Louisville.
Yeah, go outside of Louisville. I mean, like, there's basically a street in Louisville you don't want to cross.
Keep saying it, please.
Louisville?
Yeah. Louisville.
Because now you know Louisville. What I'm thinking about, yeah.
Right. Louisville.
Sorry, I'll just... Okay, Louisville. When I was in Louisville.
Louisville.
But yeah, don't go outside the city.
Camp down racist.
Note taken.
Yeah. Anyway.
So he said Louisville so many times. Did you get a boner or something?
No, yeah, he was just imagining his cock in my mouth.
Rachel.
As he's falling down the stairs. What did you say, Rachel?
Oh, he totally has a boner. He just doesn't want to tell you guys.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it.
We're, it's okay. I'll deal with it later. Wait, no, I can't. You're not here.
Come to the show.
Wow. Coming to the show.
No, we'll be there.
Speaking of the South, we got a new phone number for the show.
Oh, yeah, we did.
And out of, well, I don't know if you've guys heard, but we were trying to find a specific phone number so that it spelled Gay Talk with the prefix and the last four of the phone number.
Fun.
And I had the AT&T guy search the entire U.S. And did you know where they found the phone number at? Out of all states.
I don't know where specifically.
Well, it's not Louisville.
Right. Like, not Louisville. Yeah.
Out of all the states, Alabama.
I was going to say Mississippi.
Ah, so close.
Alabama. Yeah. So 334-429-8255 or as we would say, 334-GAY-TALK.
Well, obviously Alabama's not going to have a Gay Talk number. So.
Well, they do now.
Well, exactly. So what?
So, in the butt.
So yeah, speaking of the South. So listen, guys, I want to thank you so much for calling us and giving us this information. We have all of it available on our website. You can go to www.gaytalk20.com. If you want to be able to buy tickets or even read up and get more information on the show, you can go to morethanalltheworld.com to get that information. You're able to actually see what theater is holding the show, all the information, all the dates, the pricing, everything is there. And these two magnificent people that we're looking at right now via Skype, I want to thank you so much. Eric, you've supported our show since the beginning,
and vice versa,
and we will continue to support you guys.
I love doing this, I as often as I've done it, I love to do it every week. Like it's such a blast. I love it.
Next time we're gonna have to have both of you come in studio and sit down with us and have some.
It's a lot more fun when you're here. You can get drunk with us.
Yes.
Yes.
You know what would be fun too, Eric? While Chris is away, if you want to come on and guest host.
Yes.
Okay. He's trying to give you my seat.
I do speak German, so I can cover that.
It's not a word.
Do you speak German?
No, I'm going to Germany to study.
She just wants to say her thing. Say, she went to Berlin and she learned a thing.
I learned the most important phrase in German. It is Titten Damen an.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to say yes, but what does that mean?
What does that mean?
Translate to titty dominance, everybody. Enjoy.
I was going
to
say, definitely something about boobs taking over.
Titty dominance.
Fantastic. I learned that at the German History Museum. I just want to point that out. The actual German History Museum. It was like next to the Kaiser Helmet.
Well, when in Deutschland. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, Rachel, if our listeners would like to get a hold of you, how can they do that? Facebook, Twitter?
If they want to go to my website, it's rachelkleindirector.com. They can see all kinds of Michael Blaze's other photos, ooh, often featuring productions from Eric Ransom.
And absent.
Yeah, there's like shirtless boys in all the photos, so just go there. That's Rachel Klein, K-L-E-I-N, like Uncle Calvin, director.com.
Gotcha. Okay, and Eric, if our listeners wanted to get a hold of you, they can just go on Gay Talk.
Yeah, I'm like there. I do have ericransom.com, but it's under construction, will be for the foreseeable future, so.
But you also have a Facebook page.
I have Facebook, I have Twitter, I have sort of Instagram. I don't really use it. I'm sort of an Instagram off, but
same here.
Aww.
Oh.
I don't know.
What happened? That was a sweet, tender moment. What did you say?
That I'm an Instagram off. Like now she's seeing me in like a little bonnet. And,
I really am. I'm seeing him sitting in a little rocker knitting like a jock strap.
Knitting a jock strap.
Oh my God.
This is amazing. Well, listen, guys, and ladies and gals, thank you so much for calling in. Thank you so much for giving us the information.
It's been a delight.
We are looking forward to seeing the show.
Yeah, we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Yeah, we're going to come down. We're going to take a look at the show. We're going to let people know what it's like. I hope to our listeners, if you're in the city, if you're in the tri-state area, definitely go down and check out More Than All the World. Yeah. You have to.
I'm assuming we'll probably get a place to stay. And then I would love to hang out with you guys after the show because I haven't seen you guys in forever. So, yeah.
I love that.
Great. All right. So, guys, thank you so much. Y'all have a wonderful evening. And, ladies and gentlemen, that was Eric Ransom and Rachel Klein.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Good night.
That's a dog.
That's your dog.
Not our dog, but it's a dog.
Where are you guys? Whose house is this?
Thank you for leading us into
that. Thank you so much for asking.
They
consciously hosted by our dear friend Tim Rainey of Colonnade Row Projects. We are in the ancestral home of which Astor?
John Jacob Astor.
John Jacob Astor.
Okay, I was going to say, I feel like they broke into a house so that they had like a good background or something.
And free Wi-Fi, free Wi-Fi.
Free Wi-Fi, a good background.
And a dog.
This house is amazing. They host parties. He has an entire events company. It's Colonnade Row.
It's from the Gilded Age. So go on Instagram, Colonnade Row.
Colonnade Row on Instagram.
At Colonnade Row. Two N's.
And it's gorgeous. If you guys could see what we're looking at right now, not only do we have two beautiful people on our screen, but it is a gorgeous house. Look at those ceilings.
Check it out.
That's amazing. It's beautiful. Beautiful.
Those Astors.
Mm-hmm. Does he need a husband? I can move in.
Oh, Jesus. Honey, she's gone. She's long gone.
He wanted to know if he needed a husband.
As many as I can get.
How long has he been there?
He's just sitting in the background
the whole time.
Yes, he's just been sitting back there.
Well, now he's got to come. But before we hang up, he's got to come closer to the. Because we need to now know who this person is. Come to my window. Come inside, wave by the light of the moon.
Hello.
If you need a husband, I'm available.
Thank you for hosting these lovely people.
Oh, puppy.
Whoopi.
Doggy.
Look at the beautiful little bulldog. That's like the third dog that you've had to deal with today.
I love dogs. Thanks for having us in your home with a puppy.
Except mine.
Come again.
Oh, yeah.
We will. Believe me.
I'm dirty.
All right, guys. It's been lovely. We'll see you soon.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Thank you so much.
Cheers.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, that was Eric Ransom and Rachel Klein. And we love them dearly. Like I said before, Eric has been a supporter of the show from the beginning. And I feel that we can only do for them what they do for us because they're amazing. So we definitely have to get out there and see the show. And now that we've talked about More Than All the World, which we have all that information online, we're going to go back and talk about a couple of other things that we still have pending and then wrap it up. So anyway, I love those people. They're just so amazing. I have one more story. Previously in another episode, we had reported that Peter Burns, y'all remember this? He passed away. He had cardiac arrest. Well, anyway, Boy George actually has agreed to cover all of the expenses for his funeral so that his loved ones didn't have to do that. And I thought that was really amazing, and I thought that deserved some sort of mention. And so I wanted to just throw that out there, and bravo, Boy George.
Yeah, that was very nice.
Claps.
Because it is, you know, it's great.
You know who also deserves claps?
Yes.
The person that destroyed Donald Trump's Hollywood Walk of Fame star.
Oh.
Yeah!
Yes!
Absolutely. So
it's so bad that I got so happy to see somebody destroy his star.
Yo, this fucker went out of his way to actually like build a whole, come out with signage and everything that said, you know, caution, working, hard hat, and everything.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And people were just looking at him like, yeah, he's supposed to be here. No one had a clue what he was doing until he was done.
Pulls a sledgehammer out and is just slamming on fucking Trump.
Yep. So, but the irony of that, did you see the picture of the guy that was actually repairing it?
Was he Mexican?
A Latino. Are you serious?
Why don't you put your stuff on silent? I have my vibrate off.
It's my alarm clock. It goes off at 7:30 every day.
Shut it off.
I'm speaking in cursive, damn it.
I know, and it's fucking elegant.
I know.
All right, let's put a rubber on this.
Well, I got one more thing to add. Since we were talking about theater, did you guys hear about what happened at the Met on Saturday?
No, tell us.
They were doing, the Metropolitan Opera House was doing a performance, an opera of Rossini, and this person ran up to the pit where the orchestra is performing and threw this white powder over all the people performing.
Ooh.
All the people in the orchestral pit.
That would have freaked me out.
So obviously with everything going on nowadays, you know, they evacuated the theater and they closed it down for a couple days. What he
threw on them were the contents of an urn for someone that used to play at the Met that was cremated, and he dumped that person's ashes over all the people performing in the pit for that opera.
So basically dead people. A dead person literally went back to play at the Met.
All over everyone in the pit.
But see, this is what I would have done. If I knew that that's where the person wanted to end at, I would have just went there and sprinkled the ashes before everybody started.
Or yeah, not make it look like I'm going to dump anthrax all over you people, you know, and then evacuate everything, cancel it.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I was like, what? Michael, or we'll say MB, came into the bar last night. It was like, did you hear what happened to the Met? And that's the last thing I expected. So I want to be sprinkled somewhere with music, but don't dump me on a bunch of people performing an opera in the middle of the performance.
That's pretty
crazy.
If it
was me,
though,
I probably would have just poured it into the tuba. So the first, like,
he probably
yep.
But like, oh, God. So I just had to get that one out there.
He probably would have snorted it up. Hey, listen, we have one of our friends, Colin, who gave us some information,
yes,
some really good information on an event. I don't have it
open right now, but I want to apologize, Colin. I opened that message while I was working when you sent it to me like a month ago, and I got busy and I forgot that you sent it to me.
So basically what it is, it's Stand Up for Orlando. It's happening on November 12th, 2016, exactly 5 months after the horrific, you know, Pulse Lounge shooting. And what it is, it's an evening of comedy featuring some of the nation's top LGBT comedians and a chance for the community to be entertained and laugh. And as well, spreading awareness so that, you know, those that are still in need in the Orlando area could have, you know, an opportunity to be able to just laugh and get it out, you know. And it's going to be held in Orlando, Florida. The public can purchase tickets or make a donation at standupfororlando.com. All victims, i.e. people recovering, bartenders, staff of Pulse Lounge, and or anyone that was displaced, business owners in the areas have a close-up that had a close-up shop close to and are suffering because of PTSD, first responders are invited to attend for free. Your listeners our listeners can purchase the tickets and make a donation to allow these the victims and the first responders to attend the Stand Up for Orlando for free. And it's a fantastic endeavor. And like I said, we got this information from a friend of ours. And
if you make a donation, doesn't it?
So the other thing that he also noted to us, which I'm trying to find.
If you make a $25 or more donation to the cause, you're automatically entered to win Hamilton tickets, a pair of Hamilton tickets.
Yes, Queen. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Wonderful.
I'm just trying to help her wrap it up a little bit.
Well, you know, we're trying. So we got that information, and I know there was a website that we needed to actually let people know of, and I hope.
Let's just put it on the website.
We're going to put all the information on the website. So yes, make sure that you guys take a look at what we put up. We're going to get the information out there. We want to thank everyone for tuning in. You can find us on our website, which is www.gaytalk20.com.
I do have to say, Tommy, you have mastered the plugs.
I tried.
I mean, you still can't say LGBTQ. But the plugs you've mastered.
And, you know, you can find us on Facebook. We do have a Twitter, and you can find us on Twitter as well. And we do have an Instagram.
We do.
And we have all that good stuff.
I do have the website.
You do?
I do.
Plug it.
If you want to make a donation, you can visit at www.eventbrite.com/e/stand-up-for-orlando-tickets-2.
We'll put it on the website.
I know. It's like once I started, I'm like, this is too much. This is too much. Trish, we said we'll put it on the website, okay?
Exactly. So yeah, we'll definitely put that information on the website, which again is www.gaytalk20.com. You can also go to our website under our contact us page, send us questions for the individual. People, did you want to say something else?
I did.
Okay, talk.
You were just saying that you can go to our website and you can contact us. Well, guess what?
What?
We've officially gotten the amount of people to do our election episode.
And we're doing an actual... Yes, we are. So we are doing
an election. And we're doing an election. This cursive is very prominent tonight.
So yeah, we're doing an election episode for all you folks who wanted us to do one. So we've requested days off. We're going to be watching everything and coming back at you with our commentary.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And I know Nick's going to have a lot to say.
She always does.
And what else? I think that's pretty much it.
It's about time to go.
It's about time to go. Is that time? Mm-hmm. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being a part of the show. Thank you so much for tuning in every week, as you always do. You guys are amazing. Thank you and have a fantastic night.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more Dish.